Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
What if I told you that you never had to be sad ever again? Would you think, oh, right, yeah, right, that's like none of your reality. Okay, but God does say that you can find joy in the trial, right? But do we ever really feel like we live there? Not always. What if I told you that you don't have to be broke down, busted, and disgusted? What if I told you you didn't have to worry about sickness? What if I told you that there was freedom behind the tangled up mess that you're living in right now? What if I told you that you could succeed in life and not fail? Would you want to know the answer to this question? Well, do you know that God has given us the answer? Are you ready for it? You got your pens and papers out? It's prayer. His answer to it is prayer. You go, what? No. Another message on prayer? I'm not that good of a prayer, Pastor Jess. Guess what? Neither was I. You go, oh, not another message on prayer. Pastor Dan kind of hit this up a little bit last week, and you know, I don't know. I'm good. I got this. But listen, I don't know if we really do have this, because there's the depths of prayer that God wants us to catch that sometimes we don't catch because we're so caught up in us that we miss what he's trying to do in us. And I believe God wants to do something supernatural tonight inside of us. And so I'm calling it the prophet of prayer. Now, not the prophet like, you know, Isaiah and all the prophets in the Bible, but what is the prophet of prayer? You, what are you talking about? What is the benefits of prayer? You see, God is a humongous, amazing, generous, outlasting, everlasting, omniscient, amazing, powerful God, right? And so God says to us, church, did you know that I have benefits to prayer? And you go, what, really? How many of you have ever prayed and you're like, I don't really want to ask too much because really things are good, God, and I know you got other things to deal with, and you know my issues are not as big as some other people that I know's issues. And you just kind of don't go there with God. But God says, you're not tapping into the benefits of what I've given you. And I need you to see the bigger picture here. So God gives us incentives. Incentives to praying. Incentives to prayer. Incentives to pressing in and doing what it is that he's asked us to do. Let me give you an example. My son Titus, he's on a baseball team, and I went out to baseball practice the other week, and they were just fielding the ground balls, and they were like, you know, running the plays, and all the kids were tired. It was about an hour and a half into the practice, and they kept missing the balls. They were just not doing their thing. It was the end of the season, and they're yelling at the coach, hey, coach, when can we bat? And the coach is like, when you start catching the balls and playing the game. And they were like, what? So I watched all these kids on the field. They all looked at each other like, all right, come on, let's do this. Because they wanted to bat. And so they started like, he started grounding those balls. They caught him. They threw it to first. They caught it. They threw it to the pitcher. They caught it. They made their plays. All of a sudden, they were batting. You know why? Because we're all the same, whether we're adults or children. We like incentives. We like benefits. We like something to look forward to. I'm that type of person. I love to look forward to something. If I have nothing to look forward to, I feel a little bit drab. Like, well, whatever, quesera, whatever, life's just normal. Ask my husband. I'm like, I need something to look forward to. I'm always telling God, I need a new faith walk. I need a new faith walk. Be careful with that prayer because it has been a not fun one for me. But let me just say, God loves benefits. He loves his kids. You know, I have children, and so like if my kids want something from me, you know what I do? Well, if you want this piece of candy, then you could go ahead and do the dishes and I'll give you a piece of candy. Oh, okay. The other day we had money lying around and my son Micah was like, what are you doing with that change? And Dan's like, oh, well, you're doing a chore if you want it. And he's like, okay. So Micah went and did the chore. You see, there's benefits to it. And God has given us prayer as a benefit to use in our lives, but yet sometimes we're not activating the gifts and the tools that God has handed us. And so I believe tonight God has walked me through some things. This has been a journey for Dan and I of 2 years of transition. Transition for us is a understatement. Like, I'll tell you, and my family as well, we've all been through it in our own level, in our own life. So I can only speak from my own way of doing things, in my own heart. And in this time, in the past 2 years, there's been many times that I did not know what to do. I felt like God was handing me something massive and going, here you go. And I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, where do I go from here? And what do I say? And what do I do? And what if I make the wrong decision? And what if? And the panic mode started to come out. And when my heart started to break because things were happening or the transition, you know, with transition, people leave, and that's never easy for a pastor. And there's all these things that happened. And you know what I had to do? I had to learn how to pray on another level. I had to learn how to humble myself and go before the throne room. And I had to go pray for my family. I had to go pray for my heart. I had to go pray for the will of God. I had to go find out what the Lord wanted from me, because it was no longer part of my life and what I thought I should make the right decision on. No longer do I make any decisions. I literally am like, where are we eating today, God? Because I'm scared to make a move without God, because God has been such a humongous, intricate part woven into my life in the past 2 years. And I'll tell you, if I had not learned the lesson of prayer and the benefits of it, it would have been a mess for us. It would have been a mess for our family. My mom has taught me to pray like I've never prayed before, because as growing up, I saw my mom pray us through things. I saw my dad pray us through things. I saw God change things in our family and change things in our church and change things with the hearts of the people that were around us. I saw God heal people. I saw broken legs healed. I saw legs that were short pulled together. I'm telling you, He's a real God. He's a really, really real God. But in my brokenness, I didn't feel that way. In my sadness, I felt like I wanted to push away because it seemed too big, or it seemed too much, or it seemed, I don't know what to say when I go to the throne room. I don't know what to say when I stand in the presence of God. I don't know what to do when I'm there. And the Lord began to show me the benefit of prayer. And the Lord did some things inside of me in the past 2 years, so I will share those with you. I hope that they will help you get through life, because I know not everybody's in transition, but everybody can be affected by the benefits of prayer, because no matter what part of life you're in, you're gonna need prayer. No matter where you're at, you're gonna need to know that you can talk to God about anything and everything always. It's never too big, it's never too small, it's never too deep, it's never too big. Listen, He owns everything, and He looks down on us and goes, really, you're making such a big deal about this. I've got this, but you've just not even brought it to me in prayer. And so I believe God wants to comfort the heart of those that go to Him. The same thing is for us, and I want to go there. So this is what we're going to do. I'm sorry, I'm a little off, because at Women Rock, I cut some of my points out because we only have so much time. So we are living, guys, in an earthly realm, but we're walking out supernatural lives. Sometimes you think, but I feel very real, I feel very fleshly, I get angry a lot, Pastor Jess, and people really annoy me, and I don't seem to know where to go the next step in life. Let me tell you something. That's when you step into the supernatural. The unknown is your opportunity to step into the supernatural. And you go, what? That's scary. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is scary. We had to make a decision on something. And I remember just arguing with God about this. I was getting stuff from everywhere. I remember one of these decisions in the past 2 years I had to make. And I was getting one opinion here and one opinion here and one opinion here. And I'm like, everybody has something to say about something. Do you notice that there's always so many opinions around you? And I had to literally go get in the face of God and go, what do you want? Because it's not about what I want. I want what you want. You know the future, what it holds, where it lies. What do you want? And the Lord said this to me. He said, you make a call and I'll back you on it. And I went, that is not helping me at all. Because I've got a million opinions. And He goes, where's your heart leading you? And I laid it out and I told Him where I wanted to see it. Because if you know me, I'm very push forward, let's step out in faith. If we fall off the cliff, oh well, we'll pick ourselves back up and keep moving on. If we make a mistake, I don't care. Who cares? We all make mistakes. Let's move on and see where God's gonna take us. So I made that call. It wasn't the safe call. It wasn't the call that was popular with everybody. And then something happened where the call didn't exactly work out recently. And I remember walking up my stairs in my house and I went, ooh, God, I missed you. I totally missed you. I messed up. Totally messed up. did I make the wrong call? And he said, stop. What are you doing? Are you backing down from a fight? Don't you back down from a fight. I told you, I get your back. And I went, oh, all right. And all of a sudden, my place was put back into position. I remember, okay, Lord, I'm walking this out with you. I'm going to step back into where I was before. When faith wants to take you further and farther, and the enemy wants to just take you out of it completely, God, if you get back with him, he'll bring you right back to where you need to. He'll reposition you. He'll fill you back up, and he'll give you a courage to continue on in what you don't understand, maybe. Sometimes stepping out of faith is stepping off the cliff. Sometimes stepping off that cliff, there is nothing down there but a word from God. And are you strong enough, Christian, and strong enough in your faith to go, I'm going to do it anyways because I trust you so much, God. I trust you so much. See, in your prayer life, you can have a confidence. You can have a peace. You can have a rest. What prayer does for us in life, if you're writing this down, write this sentence down. Prayer helps us to release our frustrations. It brings us clarity, and it gives us a new perspective. We're going to dabble into all these things. So number one, we're going to go into releasing frustration. Many of us can get mad. Ooh, can you get mad? Did you know I have a little temper? I am a Cobra. I know Roth is my last name, but Cobra is my last name, and that is something that I can go from like happy to, are you kidding me? Da-da-da-da-da. Like, I can do that. How many other women in this house? Don't raise your hand. All the men are like, and I know that my husband at times has been like, whoa. In fact, I've had my son Micah go, wow, Mom, you really got mad. And I'm like, oh, you're one to talk, Cobra. Like, so I've had to literally learn how to control my frustrations. I've had to learn how to take this to the throne room. Many times in this walk, I've been mad. I have been just, this is unjust, this isn't right, this can't be God, what is happening here, how wrong is this, and this is what the word says. I'll even pull scripture out to like make my case, you know, like, this is what this says. And the Lord has been, whoa, girlfriend, you need to calm it down. And I remember one day I was standing in the kitchen, and it was just really busy in our lives. Our lives are, that's an understatement for Dan and I. And I remember trying to get the kids out the door in the morning, and everybody just doesn't have socks, or, you know, their underwear they can't find, or they're too small because Mom hasn't been able to go to the store to buy them new ones. And there's all this, like, fights going on. We are very normal, okay? Well, I think that's normal, but that is our world. And so I'm trying to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I'm trying to get everybody out the door. And I remember just being really irritated. And you know when you could kind of tell everybody's just glaring at you, but they're not saying anything? My kids were real quiet, and Dan was just like, you know, like putting the stuff together in the bag. And I'm like, okay, listen, I know I'm not in a good mood, and I'm really frustrated today, so I haven't been with God. I am going to dismiss myself, and I'm going to pray and go read my Bible. And Dan goes, okay, that's a good idea, honey, that's good. And I went to the throne room, and I'm like, I am so mad, God. Like, I wake up mad. I don't like waking up mad. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and everything is new in the morning. Your mercies are new. I don't feel your mercy new. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I'm exhausted. And, you know, you go into complaining. How many of you complain to God, right? Some of you are like, I'm too holy to do that. Well, I'm not, and I totally complain to God. And I felt him just go, are you done? Yes, yes I am. And he's like, it's gonna be okay. You're just tired. So try not to say too much for the rest of the morning and go take a nap. I literally heard that. And I was like, yes, sir. You see, God knows you. And even your frustrations don't throw him off. They're not too big for him. He totally has the answer. He's gonna bring that to pass. When you take your talk, when you take your walk to the throne room, it releases frustration. You can call that friend, but I'll tell you that friend's just gonna think you're a complainer. You can call that family member and they're going to agree with you about the other family member. Or you're going to talk to the so-and-so and you're going to wonder why you find yourself caught up in mindless conversation that you don't even know how you got there. Guess what? It's a time waster. Because if you would have just gone to God first, You would have saved time. You would have saved conversation. You would have saved the tasty morsels, you know, the gossip that somehow we get into and we don't know how. And listen, I know girls are not the only ones that gossip. And I believe that those frustrations can turn into some prayer walks, some prayer talks, some amazing things. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I love the word of God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Not just some things, guys. Not just when we're feeling like we should pray. It's most of the time when you feel like you should not pray, that's when you should go pray. It's actually a denying of the flesh. You're going to want to turn that TV on. To blur out your mind. You know, when you're frustrated, you're like, I just want to go. Maybe you go to the fridge and you start eating. Maybe you need to stop going to the fridge and eating and go to the throne room and start praying. Maybe you call that friend. You need to put the phone down. You need to start calling Jesus. Because it's prayer in everything. He's asking us for, he's not asking us for nothing. He gave it all. He says, in prayer, in everything in supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You go, my request is a complaint. Well, he loves you so much, he even wants to hear that. You're like, no way. Yes, way, because he likes to turn that complaint around into a victory, into a shout, into a cheer, into a, you know what, you're more than a conqueror, daughter. You've got this. Son, you've got this. There's nothing too big for you. What are you doing? Where's the path taking you? You see, he's going to redirect your frustrations because that's what he does. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. Listen to me. We can allow our hearts to get very tangled up in life's messes, especially if you're an introvert. I am not an introvert. Can you tell? I like to talk. I enjoy talking. I enjoy people. They energize me. But then I know that there's not everybody who is like that. And so you are alone with yourself for a very long time through a lot of conversations. And you've got to be careful, just as the extrovert has to be careful not to gossip and to go somewhere else besides God. You got to take your thoughts and those things that you're trying to understand inside and try not to, you know, make it bigger or something else that is. God says, bring that to me. Bring it to me. Talk to me about that. Because when you start to talk to me about it, I'm going to bring clarity on it. You see, our mind, the enemy whispers things to us. He begins to tell you you're not good enough, or you did this, this is your fault, this is why, and he's gonna just beat you up and he's gonna take you out. But God says that he will guard your mind, it will guard your heart when you take it to prayer. You see, if we're not praying and you're wondering why your mind is all everywhere and your heart is all frustrated and heavy, well, maybe you haven't taken something to prayer that needs to go there. Because when we take it to prayer, God says that he will then guard our hearts. I don't know about you, but I needed God every day. I need him to guard my heart every day. I turn on that news and I need to know God is with me. I see what's happening around the world and I need to know that he has made me for this time, for this moment, and that I've got this, that I can handle this, that I can raise children in this world. You see, I've got to get into the face of God because I could be very frustrated. I'm going to tell you a story. There was my daughter, Chloe, she was 3 years old, and she was having teeth issues, and we had someone tell us, you know, something's seriously wrong. Why don't you go see this dentist? She's well recommended. So we were like, okay. So we took her to the dentist. The dentist tells us that she needs a root canal. Now, I'm like a first-time mom. I'm thinking, a root canal? Oh my goodness, that's a big deal for a three-year-old. How do you do that? And they said, well, we're gonna put her under and then we'll have a TV. Well, we won't put her under. Actually, I think they were using that orange, funny laughing gas stuff, you know? And I said, okay, so they seemed like they had all their stuff together. I, before we went in, was trying to sit down and explain to my daughter, this is kind of gonna be the plan. This is gonna be what's gonna happen. They're gonna get in your mouth and they're gonna, you know, you're gonna feel some tugging and they're gonna fix what is hurting you. And she, you know, could barely talk well. She didn't quite understand. So we got her all set up. She has a TV above her. The doctors are doing their thing. There's a nurse, a doctor, and me. I'm at her legs and I'm rubbing her legs. And she was good, right? Until the drill started. And when that drill started, it was like I could feel her. She started to move. And the doctor was getting really irritated that she was moving. And I was like, whoa, 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 lady, like, calm it down. Let me calm her down. So I'm rubbing Chloe's leg, like, honey, you cannot move. You have to stay still. You have to stay still. And the doctor was like, okay, we've got to move on. You can't just keep calming her down. And so I said, okay. So then they started to drill even more. They started to drill. She starts freaking out. I mean, to the point of like turning over, crying, screaming. I'm trying to calm her down. The doctor's like, you need to leave the room. It's worse when parents are in here. And I'm like thinking, really? Is that really? Okay. So I'm leaving the room and I'm in this panic as a mom because this is my only first child, right? Like, this is my baby. What are you doing to her? And I'm like pacing down the hall and there were people in the waiting room right there and here's my baby, but they won't let me see her. So I'm in this hallway and I'm like, cool. And I'm not kidding. I'm sure all of Redlands thought I was crazy. Who is this lady talking in this weird language? I was so panicked and I was so frustrated with the doctor. I did not know what to say. I literally did not have a word to pray. All I knew to do was pray in my spiritual language. And it began to calm me down. And I heard the voice of God say, now you go back in there. And I went in, and when I walked into that room, I found a nurse sitting on top of my daughter, trying to calm her down. And I heard the doctor say, you are being a bad little girl. You need to stop this right now. And I was like, oh. Hell no. Yes, I'm a cussing pastor. And I was not okay with that. Mama Bear came out. I was like, let's go. The ghetto in me came out. And I was like, and I heard the Holy Spirit go, stop it. Stop it. And I was like, okay, calm down. Pulled myself back together. And he said, now tell them what to do. And I told the nurse, you need to get off my daughter. And I told the doctor, I said, don't talk to her that way. She's scared. And she does not understand what's going on. Let me talk to her. And she goes, well, I'm not leaving her. We've got to do this right now. We can't just leave this exposed. I mean, there was just like a panic in the room. These ladies were like crazy. And I'm like, whoa. You can give me a second with my daughter. And I asked the doctor to leave for a second. And I went into Chloe's little ear and I said, hi, baby, mommy's here. And I want you to know I'm not gonna leave you and you don't need to be afraid any longer. And I said, this is what they're gonna do. They need to finish this. So could you calm down enough to let them finish this? And when you're done, we're getting ice cream. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, now pray over her. And I began to pray and I asked the Lord for the peace and the comfort of God to fall on Chloe. And then the Lord said to me, now forgive this doctor right here in front of her. And I said, and we forgive this doctor in Jesus' name. We release her. And I'm not kidding you, something came over my daughter where she began to sit still. She got through that whole entire procedure. I went and I paid, she overcharged me. I said, whatever, give you your money. I never went back. And you know what? Let me just say, the Holy Spirit spoke this to my heart the other day. He said, that is exactly how I am when you're in a panic and when you're afraid. I lean down and I whisper and I let you know that it's gonna be okay. And your frustration's not too far away from my protection and my peace. Just as God takes care of us, and obviously not our perfection, because I am not perfect in any way, shape, or form. I'm just redeemed, and I just know that I can go to the throne room, and God can cover me in my mess, because guys, we're all a mess, let's be honest, right? We are the Rock Church, so we're the church of the X's of everything. And so, I just know that God has it. God is our source to diffuse any of our frustrations. Prayer is an attitude and a position of humility. You go, what? You see, when you go and you get with God, you got to get outside of yourself and you got to get inside of Him. So automatically it diffuses you and it puts Him on the throne room again. But when we're not in prayer, we can put ourselves on that platform to make the decisions and do what we think is best. But instead of doing that, let's release our frustrations and give it back to Him and put it back in His hands. 1 Peter 5:7 says in the New Living Translation, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all of your worries and all of your cares to God, for He cares about you. Listen, He loves you. He knows you're frustrated. All He wants to do is take you in and wrap His arms around you and say, it's gonna be okay. When I see my kids mad and frustrated, all I wanna do is get to them. And I wanna tell them, it's gonna be okay. Calm down, it's really not as big as you're making it. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that one. Let's all just take a deep breath. He's got this. He's got this. So we can release our frustrations in prayer. Number two, it can bring us clarity. I don't know about you, but if you ever felt like you're walking into a situation or you're in an uncomfortable room or you're in front of a boss or you're with your cousin so-and-so or you're in just a room, maybe you've been to a funeral recently and it was uncomfortable and you were the only believer. I don't know what your situation is, but when you walk in, it's not clear. When you walk in, it feels cloudy. It looks like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm taking. I don't know what steps is next. Maybe you're in a transition in life like I was. And you said, I don't understand, God. Where are you taking me? What are you doing? What do you have for me next? And God says, go to me in prayer, and I'll bring it to you a piece at a time. Go to me in prayer, and I'll begin to unravel everything. There was a man by the name of Job. I'm reading through the Word of God, and my husband reads in the morning and at night through the Word. I read just one chapter at a time because I am not the smartest person in the world, okay? And so I have to read slow and I have to ponder on every little word and go, what exactly does that mean? But it's been so good for me. And as I'm reading through Job, I'm literally dissecting it piece by piece and I'm blown away at all the trials and all the things Job went through. Everything was taken from this man. You want to talk about transition. You want to talk about hard times. You want to talk about having to have faith when it was not easy to have faith. Everyone told Job how to do it, where to do it, where he went wrong, and what. Everyone had an opinion. And Job went back and forth with God. But you know one thing about Job? He wasn't blaming God. He just said, where did I go wrong? Even the robber has more than I do. Even the thief. Even the homeless. I must have done something wrong. And I just love the Lord because the Lord hears Job out. He hears his friends out. He's watching and listening to all of this. And let's look at God's response in verse 38 of Job. I love God. He just knows how to show up and tell us like it is. And then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and he said, who is this who darkens counsel by the words without knowledge? He's talking about the people around him. Words without knowledge. Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Ooh, okay, God. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. I wasn't there. Or who stretched the line upon it? And what were the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? And who was a morning star that sang together? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Oh, who shut the sea with its doors when it burst forth and issues the womb? And when I made the clouds its garments and the thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and it sets its bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. This goes on and on and on. And all of a sudden you start to realize maybe what I'm not seeing in my life is clarity on my behalf, but the one who created everything has my back. And the one who formed and who spoke and earth existed. The one who breathed and man was created. You see, that's the God you're approaching when you get in prayer. When you say, I humble myself and I don't see clearly, Lord, but I need an answer and I need a direction and I don't understand. This side of heaven, we may not understand everything. There are gonna be things that you're gonna ask the question, well, why? Why did this have to happen to me, God? Why did this tragedy fall upon me? Believe me, Job was wanting that. He didn't understand. But let me tell you, the God in heaven says, I am God, and I have got you, and I've taken care of you, and I've held your hand through it, and you're gonna get through this because the man of this world, the ruler of this world, Satan is out to come and get you. He is seeking every part of you, and if he can get you and bring disclarity among you, if you can be blurry and not understand where you're going with God, you are going to live in a path of rejection. You're going to live in a path of defeat. you're going to live in a path of ununderstanding. Because you see, when we get into the throne room of the one who created everything, he begins to drop little morsels on us. Ooh, let me drop that on you right there, and it comforts your heart. And all of a sudden you see clearer. And he begins to explain why so-and-so didn't treat you the way you thought you should have been treated. And you realize, ooh, forgive me, God. It is bigger than what I see. It is bigger than what I know. When God begins to change your position, when God begins to tell you to do something new, when God begins to shake your foundation, and when God begins to ask you to step out over the cliff and jump, and you don't see clearly, he says, I've got your back. I'm going to bring you clarity. Go to the throne room, the one that Job, the God of Job is our God as well. Job 42. I love this part of Job. After God goes into, and if you want a good read, just keep reading 38 and 39 and 40 and 41. But when you get to verse 42, this is Job's response to God. And it says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. Well, yes. Isn't that actually comforting? You asked, who is that that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things that I did not know about, things far too wonderful for me. Verse 4, you said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. This is Job's response to God. Verse 5, I have only heard about you before, but now I see you with my own eyes. You see, in the moments of unclarity, in the moments when you don't understand or your brokenness or you feel like you're in a fog, you are going to get closer to the Lord in a way that you never would have if that trial or if that tribulation or if that faith walk wasn't in front of you. I have never in my life been so close to the Lord. I can hear him now, where before I wasn't sure if I was hearing God, but through these 2 years, I've now learned to hear him. Oh, and then I hear him again, and oh, wait, whoa, God was saying something. Hold on, I got that. Because the more you're with him, the more you begin to understand your Father's voice, the more you hear it and you go running after him. And when he calls you, he says, come on back this way. He says, oh, yes, my daddy's calling me. I gotta go. Because you see, you're going to have some clarity as you get closer. The closer you get, the more clarity you'll receive from the King. That's how it works. And that's what Job was saying. I had known of you, but now I see you. If he had not gotten through that, would Job have been that close to the Lord? Would he have been in the place he would have? The other day we were, another morning, running around, trying to get lunches done, trying to get kids out of the house. And I turn on the news, and it was when the Manchester had happened. There were some other things that had happened. My heart just began to break. I guess there's a whole bunch of things going down in Venezuela right now, and young people are dying by the drones. I mean, they have rackets and like made up shields to try and defend themselves, and people are just shooting them and killing them because they're asking for freedom. We don't even know this stuff is happening. As I started watching this, my heart started to get heavy. And then all of a sudden, there were buses. There were two bus crashes that morning, and children had died. And that day, my son and my nephew were gonna go on a field trip. And I went, and I felt like foggy. I felt like, oh no. And the Holy Spirit said, nuh-uh, stop that. And I said, okay, let's pray. I got the whole family together, and we prayed over everyone. We prayed for Bjorn, we prayed for Micah, we prayed for the whole school. And then I said to Dan, I said, you need to get out of the car and go lay hands on that bus and put some anointing oil all over it if you need to. I'll make this Baptist man a Pentecostal. He's now not. And so he said, all right, I'll pray over the bus. So he drops the kids off at school, and we had to come to a funeral that day. So we came to the funeral. I saw my sister-in-law walk through the church with my little nephew, and I was like, what are you guys doing here? Where are you guys supposed to be at the funeral? She goes, the weirdest thing happened. Like, the bus would not start. It literally broke down in our parking lot here. And we have to redo the trip on Monday. And I went, oh, really? And I heard the Holy Spirit go, you prayed for that. You didn't have clarity, but you prayed. And the protection, my protection was on that school that day. And I'm telling you, be directed by God. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small. You never know. Cover everything with prayer. Cover everything with prayer. The last one, God's perspective. Are you guys with me still? Let's get the God perspective to life, because if I look at my context of life, I'm going to be messed up, right? Because I can't figure out what's happening in Miss Mignon's life because I don't live Miss Mignon's life. I can't be in Pastor Mondo's role because I'm not Pastor Mondo, but I can judge it according to my perspective and my context, which is wrong. Because God says, you don't need your perspective on things. You need to get my perspective on things. Mom, can I have your glasses? Can you bring me your glasses? Joe, Reverend Joe, can I have your glasses? Pastor Mondo, can I have your glasses? So as we began to look and see God's perspective on life, thank you, wonderful, amazing people. I'm gonna put on someone else's walk. Woo, wow, Joe. I'm gonna get a blurry perspective that I'm not quite sure what step to take next. And this is what Joe should be doing, but I'm getting Joe's perspective and everybody else around me's perspective and my perspective. I'm gonna put that into it and I'm gonna be a mess and it's gonna be blurry for me, okay? Then I'm gonna, you know what, I didn't like the way that worked, so I'm gonna listen to so-and-so down the street's perspective. I'm gonna put him on and, oh yeah, actually I could kinda see through these glasses. Yeah, I could do this, but it's not exactly where I should be. I would probably end up cutting corners. I'd probably end up not being as honest as I should be because this is someone else's path for me to walk. How about these ones? Let me put these ones up. Woo! This woman cannot see. But all of a sudden, I feel like I'm the most spiritual person in the whole world. And I know every scripture. I know every scripture. Every prayer is like downloaded upon me right now. But this is not my path to walk. And this is not my perspective to see. This is Pastor Deborah's path to walk. And this is Pastor Deborah's perspective to see, because God has given her a walk and Pastor Mondo a walk to walk in. And God is asking them to see through the lens of what God has for them. Thank you. But then God says to me, what do you got? And I said, I don't know, God. I don't understand, because perspective is just a little weak in my life. And God says, would you put on what I've made for you? These are my glasses. And God says, now you can see clearly because you've been with me, and you need to get my perspective on your walk and your spot and your place, because I'll tell you something, don't try and walk in my shoes because you haven't been there, and I'm not going to try and walk in your shoes, but we're going to get the God perspective for our lives. We're going to see where God needs us to be and the place and the position he's asking us to be, but we can never figure that out unless we've been with him, unless we've talked to him. The God perspective isn't always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to make us feel good, guys. I'll tell you, most of the time, it's uncomfortable. Most of the time, I feel like, I didn't hear that right. Have you ever been in prayer and you're like, I don't think that was God? Because he wouldn't say that. Normally, if it's crazy and out, like totally beyond you, it's probably God. Because he's always pushing us to see bigger, to see greater. Just recently, Dan and I, we had been in this house. We bought this house, you know, in the recession. Well, not in the recession, but before the recession. So we, you know, should have lost our house. And we held on to the hurt of us. We held on. We were like, food or mortgage? Which one are we doing today? And we just felt like the Lord was like, you can pay, so do what you need to do. So we did it. And we did it faithfully. And we love the Lord in it. But I was begging God to get me out of it. Believe me. And I was just like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? So all of a sudden, in four days, God moved us and changed our whole life. In 4 days. And then handed us something so massive. I'm like, seriously? Do you know how much work this is? Because when you start praying about something and you ask God to bless you, oh, get ready, because blessings come with weights and responsibility and a lot of hard work, okay? So when you just think, oh, God's going to bless me, I'm just going to dance in it. No, you're going to work in it. That's for free. That has nothing to do with prayer. That's just for free. And so here I am. I'm handed this massive this, and then Dan becomes senior pastor here, and we're like, what? You trust us? And like literally no panic mode time, like was just a mom, and I was just, you know, the wife and the kid. And God said, it's time for you to step it up, girlfriend. It's time for you to take on a new position and a new perspective and a new place and a new realm and a new walk and a new prayer life and a new, and I was like, all right, all right, all right. And listen, I felt like heaven was dropping things like, okay. And you know what? Every time I went to try and catch a ball, if I missed it, I took a deep breath and I said, I'm going to the prayer room because I don't know if that one's gonna hurt. And listen, God had my back. God covered us. God loves us. Listen, God is not a respecter of persons. God has something amazing for you. God's perspective of your life is bigger than you can dream or think or imagine. Would you just give him the chance to move? Get outside of yourself. Get away from what you think. Do what God thinks. God's perspective is bigger than ours. I love that God's perspective isn't always comfortable or popular or common. Maybe you are waiting for God to make that faith step, and God's just waiting for you to make that faith step. That's what I've learned. If I could tell you anything in these past 2 years, God's like, are you ready to just move already? Because I've been waiting on you for a long time. And I'm like, yes, sir. And I do it afraid every time, guys. Do it afraid. And then you know what? That fear will release when you get the presence of God and you go into your throne room, and God will release it. Step out. Matthew 6:9, he even gives us a beautiful description of what our prayer needs to look like for us to get his idea on things and not ours. Matthew 6:9-13, it says, pray like this. How simple is the word of God, right? It says, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth. It's all about him, guys. Your life is not your own. Your life was bought with a price, and it was paid for in blood, and the presence of God is on it. And so guess what? It's for his will, his way, his purpose, and his kingdom. And that is where he wanted us to start with our prayer walk. But then I love where he goes afterwards. He says in verse 12, and forgive us of our sins. Wait a second, he's the only one that can. As we are forgiven those who have sinned against us. And if you don't let us yield to temptation, don't let us yield to temptation. Ooh, listen, he's knocking. The enemy's knocking at your door, waiting for you to give in. That thing that used to rip you out and take you out from the kingdom of God, that drug or that alcohol or that girl or that pornography or that lust or that position of whatever it is that you found yourself always going back to. Maybe you're sitting in this room tonight and you're there and you're like, that temptation is so strong. You overcome it with prayer. You overcome it with prayer because he's the only way to break these things. He's the only source of what will break these things off of you. And he says this, and I'm going to go back to verse 11 because I missed it. Give us today the food that we need. Whew. Wait a second. That means he's our source for everything. If he feeds the birds of the field, he's going to feed you. My favorite verse is Matthew 6:33. For do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Sufficient is the day. Listen, be in today. Don't worry about it. God's got this. He's your source of food. He's your source of forgiveness. He's your source to push off the enemy from tempting you. But rescue us from the evil one is what it says. Listen, he answers us in the beginning, I love this, of this prayer, and then he is our source at the end of our prayer. In this prayer, he is the answer to everything, and at the end, he's the source to it all. It's all about him, guys. Your prayer walk is going to lead you back to what he needs. Your prayer walk is going to release your frustrations. Your prayer walk is going to bring you clarity, and you will have joy in the morning because his mercy endures forever. You will find joy in trials and weariness and testing times when you're not hearing the voice of God, when things are cloudy, when your heart is all tangled up and you're like, are you there, God? He says, I'm here. Just come be with me. Just come be with me. Sometimes I sit in my chair that I pray in and I don't say anything. Because there's been so many times that I didn't want to complain and I was just broken. And I would just sit there and tears would just fall down my face. And I felt like the Lord was just there hugging me and saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. Tonight, what are you hurting in? What is a weight on your life that you haven't brought to the throne room? What have you been doing on your own that you never had to do on your own? Tonight, I want you to write something down for me. We're going to do a little homework. If you're taking a pen or get your phone out or whatever. And I want you to make a list real quick. Can I get Elijah up here? I want you to make a list of three things that you're going to bring to God this week. Maybe they've been sources of frustration for you, and maybe sources of uncertainty and not clarity. And maybe you just need the God perspective on it, no longer your perspective on it. Write down three things. And when you go to your prayer closet this week, talk to God about it. Your prayer closet can look like anything. It doesn't have to be a closet. It could be your car, it could be your shower. It could be wherever you just have a moment to talk with the Lord. I'm a mom, so many times that's me running in between running errands or doing a load of laundry or running to the office. Those are precious moments for me, and I steal every moment I can get with my Maker. Steal your moments this week with Him, because He wants to be with you. Did you get something from God tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.